has been kind of hard. Pandemic raiding the whole world's backyard. I can't seem to find toilet paper in stock. And I can't see my friends or even go for long walks. Sickness and distance, social media loops. This stupid pandemic won't even let me poop. But as difficult as this time may be, as we look to the future, it is hope that we see. Now that I know every inch of my home, and on Netflix I've seen every episode. Also, I baked some dank sourdough. Met the love of my life through an app on my phone. Soon it will end and I can live my best life. Now with my Tinder boo physically by my side, we soon face the future healthy and free. A kitchen full of bread and paper to wipe when we pee. But first we'll listen to this podcast on COVID-19. Brought to you by the best. It's the Daily COVID Reflections. Yeah.
Hello, we are coming at you from the news section of the Daily. This is Billy Featherston. I'm your host and all that good stuff. This one is coming to you from Claudia Yaw. You might know her from The Wrap-Up, our weekly news podcast. And she is narrating this one, so I'll stop talking real soon. But yeah, and enjoy an interview. You know what? I'm just going to let her tell you.
Hey, Huskies. It's Claudia Yaw, and you're listening to The Daily's special graduation edition. This is the news section's final goodbye for spring quarter 2020. A truly unprecedented quarter at the UW. We've seen a pandemic consume our city and state, with the death toll still rising. And now, Seattle is in its second week of civil unrest as folks take to the street to protest police violence and systems of racial injustice. This podcast is for the UW students who are graduating in the midst of it all. We're going to hear from outgoing ASUW President Kelty Pierce about leading a university through crisis and where to go from here. A note, this interview has been edited for clarity and length.
Like with work and as school, just like, I think this quarter has been a lot more demanding than anticipated, because at first I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm not going to be in the office. I'm not going to get quote unquote stuck in the office as much. But then all of a sudden when your office becomes your kitchen table and your bed, it's even harder to leave the office, which is like this irony that I wasn't anticipating.
Yeah, totally. I've heard that a lot from people too. Like it's a little bit harder to, you have to be really clear with your boundaries of time and that takes a lot of getting used to. So
Yeah.
And I'm sure just with graduation.
And that has been such an evolving conversation that's been something where it's like, okay, we need to make a decision very quickly to adapt. And so, yeah, like I will be, myself and Juliana Conti, the GPSS president, will be pre-recording a message that will be broadcast during the larger broadcast. And so we'll see. They're going to send me some like sound equipment so that hopefully it's not just my iPhone recording me.
Which would also be a sign of the times, totally.
Oh my gosh, so much so. Yeah.
People are used to that now. So how closely are you working with UW on plans like that, like contingency plans?
I think this has been one of the, like graduation itself and contingency plans has been so hard because things shift on a, especially at the beginning of this, things were different every hour. Anamari made it very clear to me at the beginning that UW would be following the strictest restrictions, whether that was from UW Med, King County Public Health, the CDC, whoever was giving us the strictest standards, that's what we would be following.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting time for you to be finishing up your tenure.
Yes.
Yeah. How does that feel for you? with this all going on? Are you still able to kind of find some just appreciation, celebration?
Yeah, it's been pretty emotional, I'm not gonna lie, because I think, I was just thinking back just yesterday about, like, oh my gosh, when was the last time I spent, like, quality time with people in the office? Or something that I campaigned on last year and has been one of my favorite projects that I've done this year is I launched Coffee with Kelty, which is a drop-in office hours. And so that used to be on Fridays in the office. And I had so many students who would come into my office just to say hi or to bring issues. And that was oftentimes the first time people had interacted with ASUW. Mm. And that was really cool and one of my favorite things. And this quarter I've adapted and it's now, I stream it on our Rainy Dog Radio Twitch stream on Fridays, but it's not the same. People can submit questions, but it's not the same as being there with people and getting that interaction. And I think too, there's moments where I keep thinking, like, oh my gosh, I wanted to be able to thank all of the ASUW people and being able to go, there's some people that, you know I won't see again because they don't live in this area. And that's been hard. But I've also been really, really proud of how well people have adapted. And so I think that's given me some solace in all of this, is that I've got to see the ASUW team really be leaders in how to adapt with this remote quarter, where we had remote remedies going on this quarter, where people, our entity leaders, were posting playlists, and our student food co-op hosts a cooking and baking club on Tuesdays over Instagram Live. So those are the moments where I'm like, okay, if we can't be together and we can't celebrate together in person, finding ways to try to make it work, I guess.
Well, let me switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want to kind of do a little bit of a retrospective
for okay.
you. Maybe give you a chance to reflect a little bit on your time.
Yeah.
You remember when you first started out with ASUW, and do you remember kind of who you were and what your ideals were and what you were like, what were you thinking it was going to be like? What were you hoping for?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. There's some irony to this because I remember soon, like the first conversation I had with my advisor after I was elected, she was like, look in the mirror right now, because you're never going to look like this again. You're going to get wrinkles and gray hair from this job. And like the irony is, like, now I have gray hair. So like, and I, the first time I Zoomed with her with my hair, she was like, okay, that wasn't what I meant, but okay. And so I remember that meeting, and I remember first starting, it was one of those things where our email accounts turn over, like, are just passed down every year. And so I got a hold of this, my email account, back in the beginning of last June. And so I remember I would spend hours and hours and hours going through the former president Ratika's email, trying to figure out, what did I just get myself into? Because I think there's a lot of naivety in this, because it's a role that you really get to create and adapt to yourself, which I really have enjoyed. And I think a year ago I would have never, when I started, I had these big goals that I had campaigned on, and I had these big broad visions of things that we were going to do both within ASUW but then externally. And while I got to act on those, the biggest difference is my job as president isn't to have my own agenda. It's to work in whatever current fire comes up from the student body or from administration that I need to respond to. And so I think that has really been a shift from a year ago, is learning that, you know, I still get to work on my projects like Coffee with Kelty. Mm-hmm. And I still get to do those things, but my priorities are whatever is currently on the mind of students. Like, I think this spring quarter is a perfect example of my entire quarter has been focused on COVID-19 and students. And obviously I would have not predicted that or hoped for that, but that's what the students need. And so I think that's been a shift.
So you've had, I know the COVID-19 thing is going on and that's mm-hmm. kind of probably what everybody wants to talk about, but there have been some other big challenges during your time. And, you know, just even in the broader political picture. And mm-hmm. I know that there have been some challenges on campus because of that.
Yeah.
And the Milo speech mm-hmm. and everything that happened with that. Can you remember, like, was there a biggest challenge? Was there something that just hit you like, wow, I can't believe I'm in this position during this time? Or
yeah, I think really the COVID crisis was that moment for me. But I think the COVID crisis is really the best example because I remember feeling paralyzed mm-hmm. by it, to be quite honest, where I knew that this was going to be really hard for our students, and that this was going to be a crisis that is, it's hard because so many people have been saying this word unprecedented, and so I feel like it's getting overused, but it really is. And so I remember feeling paralyzed by this. I want to help, we need to help, we need to do something, but what do you do when the need is so great and the challenges are changing? And so that was a moment where I was paralyzed. And then one of my proudest things that we've done is this year we were able to take in response is we donated $100,000 from the ASUW to the Husky Pride Fund, which is a scholarship that is operated by the ASUW that's typically fueled and funded through donations and t-shirts sold at the bookstore. Mm-hmm. And we were able to adapt and donate $100,000 and then make it available to students who were experiencing any kind of financial hardship from this crisis, be it all of a sudden you need to upgrade your Wi-Fi because that's hard to ask for financial aid through the emergency fund. Is like, well, we didn't want students to be in a position where they weren't asking because they felt they were taking it away from someone else. In retrospect, like, I remember having so many late nights in my office about like, oh my gosh, you know, what are we going to do about this thing? And now looking back, like we were having a hard time getting, like funding for, the like food because we can't use our money for food. And we wanted to buy food for the students who came with us to Huskies on the Hill, our annual lobbying day. And so it was so stressful because we were trying to figure out who could donate money to us so we could buy food. Mm. Like, and that was a big issue. And now looking back, that seems so silly.
So it's really put things into perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It does seem like its own kind of challenge too, because at least when you look at kind of those political challenges or sort of that have to do with, you know, groups of people that are participating in violent or harmful behavior, that seems like a more clear and present danger. And then when we deal with something like this, and it is unprecedented at this level, you know, to have something that's kind of like this invisible thing and people have different needs because of it.
Right, where last year, shortly after I was elected, so I was elected but hadn't taken on office yet, was the College Republicans bake sale that happened right in the hub, like right in front of Allen, right in front of the hub. and happened on the same day as the annual Poly Day put on by and so that was something that I remember watching and thinking, oh my gosh, like, what if this happens next year and we have to be the one to respond, and how do we respond and support our students? And yeah, but that one was one where it was, there were clearer boundaries and clearer responses because it's tangible. It's right there on campus. And so this has been much less tangible.
Yeah, right. Did you learn anything specifically from the response that you did see to that?
Yeah, I was also on campus for the Milo event. That was my first year on campus. And watching those, I think the most important thing that I learned was really how important ASUW's job was to listen, but to also be a comforting voice. Because I think that that was something that, to acknowledge that people are feeling unsafe or uncomfortable, and acknowledging that and hearing people out and then saying, you know, we are here to support you. I think that was a big thing that I learned from those, was that that is our main job. We can't fix. I joked about this in the past where, like, I don't have a magic wand to just like say, here is this issue on campus fixed. Our main job and my main job as president is to listen. And I take that very seriously, and I watched that happen the past couple years from ASUW, and I wanted to expand on that. And that's honestly a big place of where Coffee with Kelty came from, was wanting to be there to listen and to just hear people out.
Are there any like misconceptions about ASUW or things that you want people to know that you've kind of come to realize through all your listening, that's kind of like, oh, you know, this is maybe something that, you know, we could make clear, or whether that's for people who want to be part of it,
yeah,
and join, or whether that's more for people who maybe don't know that they can come to ASUW.
Yeah. I think that's a really good question. I think a big thing that I have always tried to expel the myth is like, ASUW, there is a place for anyone in ASUW. So we have entities, we have our lobbying efforts through our government relations, we have communities, we have Senate, there's lots of spaces, there's the Student Health Consortium, there's lots of opportunities for people to get involved. And I think when people think ASUW, they just think of the one, like, there's ASUW 121 and then there's 131. And I think a lot of times people think about 121 and it just being like this legislative branch, but that's not all it is. And there's so much more. There's so many opportunities to build community, and to support each other and to celebrate. And there's really important advocacy work that happens through ASUW. It was a number of years ago, the diversity credit was an ASUW initiative. And that's so cool. And I think that one of the things that we kind of joke about is that people either think ASUW has all of the power or no power. And we sit pretty squarely in the middle, where I don't just get to call, you know, President Kausay and say, like, I demand this happens. That's not how it works. But I also do get to have an open conversation with her and bring very real concerns and say, I need you all to think critically about this and to adapt. For example, Hall Health is in a very serious financial, even before this COVID thing, but Hall Health is in a very serious financial debt. They are operating in a deficit. Mm-hmm. And we, when looking at paper, like the numbers and the budgeting, we realized that students were subsidizing the use of Hall Health for non-students because students were paying in more to Hall Health than we were using it. So we were subsidizing it for other people. And that was a moment where we got to call that out. And there's been, Hall Health has now shifted, the management is under student life. And partially that was because ASUW and GPSS were like, hold up, this is not right. And so I think that that is a big myth, is ASUW, we get to call attention and bring student voice and student stories. But again, I don't have a magic wand. One of my roommates kind of jokes, like the other day we were, he needed a pen for something. And he was like, Kelty, do you have a pen? And I was like, no. He's like, I just figured you like always carried one around, like, so you have to always sign things as president. I'm like, what exactly is it that you think I do? Like, I don't know. I think those are big myths. And I also think that I recognize that ASUW, like, there's a lot of really amazing things happening around campus, and ASUW isn't the home for everybody. And that is okay. And that is something that I think people should try. ASUW, come in, come to meetings, come hang out. And then if you decide that this isn't your home on campus, that's okay. But we have connections with all of the RSOs, and we can help you find that home for you. And I think that's really important too. If all of a sudden someone comes in and they want to be writing my, like, I send out monthly emails, and if they're like, I want to write those emails because I love to write, well, that's not necessarily the, we don't necessarily have those same opportunities, but you should go over to the daily. Mm-hmm. Like, and so helping build those connections across campus is another thing that I think people don't always know that we have the capacity to do.
Yeah. Couple more questions. Do you have another minute?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too much of your time. New students that might be coming in, probably this fall, but
yeah,
have aspirations for leadership, and especially probably young women or non-binary students who have these aspirations maybe beyond college and are thinking that this might be a good place to start, ASUW.
It is, I think, my best advice for young women and non-binary folks coming onto this campus is to look around and to find someone who you can talk with, and a mentor role, and someone who can help guide you. And I think I remember being so nervous before my meeting with Danielle, thinking I was like annoying or a nuisance or something. And that's just not true. Mm. Like, people are in these leadership roles because of people before them who helped them get here. Mm. And it's so important to be willing to ask and put yourself out there and say, I want to get involved. How can I? And you will never be asking too many questions. You'll never be bugging people, asking them for coffee. And I also think that it is, as young women, we struggle with the everyone struggles with the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I think that we struggle with it sometimes more. And to that, I'm going to curse, I say, fuck it. Because it is such a moment where I have to consistently tell myself that is, it doesn't matter. When I ran for this job, I ran against 3 men. And standing up on those debate stages was intimidating. But we need women leaders. We need female role models. We need non-binary role models. And we need folks who are willing to step up and advocate. And I think that it, yeah, I don't know. All of that to say, like, go ask for the coffee dates. Go just pop into office hours. And to also know that you are here on this campus because you belong here. Mm. Like, you belong at UW. You deserved to get in. You deserve to be here. We saw something in you, and you need to be here. And I think that that's also important to remember in the moments where you're like, nope, failing this class. That's okay. I failed a class. and yet.
So cool. And then kind of maybe following up on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or someone is following you. Someone is following into your footsteps.
Yeah.
Can you say something about that relationship and maybe what students have to look forward to in the new president, Camille?
Yeah, yeah. Camille, I think that she is a fierce advocate. Everything Camille does is, like, I genuinely think she embodies fierce, because she is someone who does not take no. I've had the privilege to, at the beginning of the year, I appointed her to sit on the Provost Advisory Committee for Students, which of course now I'm like, oh, like looking, of course I didn't know she was going to be succeeding me, but I've had the privilege to serve on that committee with her and watch her stand up for students and speak out, and especially for I remember this meeting where we had the interim director for disability resources for students giving a presentation. And I'm a disabled student, a disabled woman, and I've had some not favorable experiences with that on campus, and that's been really hard. And so I was pretty outspoken, and Camille also she's currently serves as the assistant director for the Student Disability Commission. Mm. And so we have this meeting where we just kind of we're going off of each other and tag teaming, where it was like, wait times are too long. People are taking this from a medical standpoint, not from a holistic standpoint. We need to reevaluate how disability resources are working for students on campus. And Camille just didn't back down. And I was like, she's got a fire within her that is really inspiring. And so I'm really looking forward to see her take that energy, that same energy, because students are going to need a fierce advocate this next year, as, you know, budgets, quite honestly, are shifting, and budgets are going to be severely impacted. And so having someone in the room who is so student focused and will, you know, fight till the cows come home or whatever the saying is, I think is going to be really powerful.
I would love to pull back for a minute. Have you thought about what's next for you?
It's some advice that I actually got at the beginning of this year from Juliana, the GPSS president. This was week 3 of fall quarter. And I was already like, Juliana, I don't know what I'm going to do after graduation. Like, what am I? And she was like, first of all, there's a long ways to get before there. Second of all, your job right now is to be the best president you can be. And that is your job, and that's okay to say, I want to be the best president I can be, and then worry about what's next later. And so I really was like, oh, okay. And I think when I told my parents that, they were kind of like, what advice did you get? What? What do you mean? And I was like, no, I promise it's going to be fine. And they're like,
yeah, but what's next?
Exactly. Right. They're like, yeah, but no, really, what's next? And I think, so for me, I worked on a political campaign in 2018. I was a field organizer. And so I will be joining, can't say it yet, but I will be joining another campaign. And so that's through, knock on wood, at least November, you know, after August, but hopefully through that. And then after that, I have really had, like you said, I've had a lot of time to reflect, and I've realized how important and critical education and educational leadership is in my life. And so I've been thinking about going back to school to get my master's in education. I think I want to focus on K-12, though, because I do really love the younger kids. And I think that I have had so many amazing mentors and teachers in my life that helped get me to this point. Mm-hmm. That I would love to help in that realm. but I'm, again, I'm learning to give myself grace in that journey and not knowing what's next. And I'm privileged to have a family that I've said, I'm moving home in June. And, you know, because I don't quite know. Yeah. And privileged to have a family that has said, okay, like, we will help figure out what's next. I think it's one of the ironies where, like, my mom's like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have sleepovers every night. I've missed having you home. And my dad's like, we'll see how long that lasts.
The Daily's special graduation edition can be found in full on our website, dailyuw.com. There, you'll find stories about the job search graduating seniors are facing and profiles of especially inspiring seniors. To all our friends who are leaving the UW and the Daily, we wish you the best of luck wherever you go. And to those of you who are staying, we'll be back as soon as summer quarter. See you then.
Okay, thanks so much for listening. Like Claudia said, everyone, I hope you're all well. Stay positive, stay safe, keep doing good things and standing up for what you believe in and all of that. All right, we will see you in the last episode, which is brought to you by the Opinion Section.